today, and we just are so glad to have them come and minister to us this morning. There's John and Patricia and Zoe and Gloria Ann. Will we say that we're so glad to have you guys with us? I hope you feel blessed in the environment and so forth. And we just appreciate you so much. These folks have been pastoring for how long have you been at Catch the Fire in Toronto? 21
years.
21 years. So they've been a part, right from the first, of the revival that has been going on there. We're just privileged to have them both and to impart what they impart in amongst us. And we know that as you leave, you will have left something, and that will shift this environment, help bring the glory and presence of God to this island. So welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It is an absolute privilege and an honor to be here with you today. We love your island.
Yeah.
You have a great beauty, and I love the place of peace here. You can relax and lay back and feel like you're receiving something. Patricia's going to really give the lion's share of the message this morning, but I just wanted to say, as I'm here and just being able to, to put my feet on your land and stay rooted in your ground here, even in the past week, that my sense is that the Lord is very much moving. And the words that I'm getting is a groundswell. I feel as though there's a groundswell of something coming up from the land. And I feel as though so much of it is dependent upon the prayers of the saints, that even as you guys are able to see it or believe it or behold it, that as you begin to cry out, but I believe there's a groundswell of things even pertaining to harvest. I believe the Lord is ready to move, and I see it coming from the east, the west, the north, the south, that God is coming and ready. And I know you know this because you're an island of harvest, but when the harvest comes, it's all hands on deck. And, I just want to speak a word. I want to give agreement from Toronto that the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over this island. I really, even in agreement with the things that have taken place over the last 3 or 4 days here in this place, I want to just put my yes and amen and my blessing on it. But to prepare your hearts and to begin to believe it and begin to cry out for it, because the Lord moves at the sound of your voice. He really does. He hears your cry. He knows the heartbeat. And I believe that there is a great plan and purpose and destiny over this island, that even as the intercessors begin to come forth, I feel like there's intercession in some of you here that you don't even know that you're called to pray. And, in some cases, I believe there's a sense of just even believing lies about prayer, believing lies about intercession, such as if God is sovereign, he does what he wants, why pray? Because he always cooperates with humanity. And as we begin to come into agreement with heaven's purposes and plans on the earth, it's as though he's waiting to create, he's waiting to release things, even as you come into agreement with heaven and into agreement with one another. And so I want to bless a groundswell in this island, a groundswell where things were, even as you were leaders in the nations, in the nation, even over 100 years ago, your leaders once again to begin to see things arise and shine and give God the glory. And I want to bless as well a multi-generational passion and a burning of hearts for the things of the Spirit of God and the things of the kingdom of God. You know, I recognize, even as we get older, you know, we've not only been blessed to have 6 children, we have 3 grandchildren now, and it's like, where did the time go? And so even in that, we're beginning to recognize the incredible need for the next generation to begin to rise up and to bless the Lord, but also bless the things that God's doing and to give worship and praise to him. And so it's been a passion that Patricia and I have carried, and she's an author. I want to make note that we've got a number of her books at the back, but the one we've got here today is Raising Burning Hearts. And I just want to say that whether you're parents or grandparents, if you want to look at just some keys, some absolutely amazing principles that we have discovered and found, even being in Toronto over the last 20 years and being a part of that move that the Holy Spirit has just poured out, there's a great resource out back. It's right here, Raising Burning Hearts. I just want to put that in. If that's something that you feel will be blessing, I know Patricia would love to just get that message out there as well into our hearts, because it's a preparation in the heart of God for the things that he's doing. So we bless you from Toronto. We bless you from Catch the Fire. May the Spirit of God rise on you. I feel like there's dreams, there's vision, there's revelation coming, and there's a groundswell of his Spirit. So may you catch it in Jesus' name.
Man, more Lord. Come on up, Zoe. Zoe had a vision, I think you had? Oh, go ahead. Sure.
Just the other day, I had a picture during the conference, and I saw the island of Prince Edward Island, and I saw this lion standing on it, and it's like its paws were embedded in the dirt of Prince Edward Island. and he was standing and he was roaring over the whole country. And as he roared, I saw like just coming from his mouth, like ripples of just like breath. And it was, it went all over the country. And so I believe that there's a power even in Prince Edward Island that can really affect the whole nation. And I know that you guys have that, and you have the lion embedded in your earth that can affect the whole nation.
Amen. Amen. And Zoe, Zoe 16, I'm just going to ask you to pray for the youth of Prince Edward Island. Is that okay? I just feel like God wants to wake up the youth. And
Yeah, Jesus, I ask that you would come. And Lord, I thank you that your spirit is here in this island, Lord. And I thank you that you have that your heritage is placed in this land, Lord. And I ask that you would come and that you would burn in the hearts of the youth and the teenagers in Prince Edward Island, Lord. I ask that you would come and that everywhere they look, everywhere they turn, that they would see you and that they would see the face of your son, Jesus. And that those who are lost, Lord, I ask that they would be returned to the church, Lord. I ask that you would come and that you would bring in a harvest of the teenagers in Prince Edward Island, Lord, that they would see your son and that they would burn with amazing fire for Jesus, Lord. And I ask that they would come and that they would dedicate their whole lives to serving you, Lord, in their workplaces, wherever they are in their homes, Jesus. I ask that the teenagers would come, that they would be saved, and that in turn that they would come, that they would go, and that they would spread your word all throughout the nation, Lord.
Amen and amen and amen. Come on. For those of you that weren't here, I just want to share that this is our first time at PEI, by the way. We've never been here before. And first night we slept here was Thursday night. And I had a dream on Thursday night. It was very clear. It was where the Lord was speaking to me in the dream, and he just said, I'm calling the women of PEI to arise. I'm waking up the women, and he talked about healing the women, restoring the women to rise up into their place and to really just be the voice. And so I just wanted to bless that as well. I want to bless the women of PEI. There's something, it was funny because, you know, I was reminded this week of somebody who said, David Young-Yi Cho, who leads this, the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea, he said, if you have something hard to do, send a woman. Most of his leaders are women. And so I just want to bless the women of PEI as they rise up in their God-given authority and their voice and in their, you know, just the anointing that they carry. Really believe that there's some amazing intercessors. I know John mentioned it, but he was kind of stealing a bit of my sermon. What was that? That was a prophetic flow, yes. But the lady in the very back there with a nice spiky hair, you're writing in your book right now. Hi. Yeah. Can you stand up for a second? I just want to bless on you. I just want to call forth that woman of prayer and woman of vision. And I feel like the Lord is saying that he hears the prayers that you pray in your secret place when it's just you and God. And it's just, I see the ear of the Lord attuned to you. And he's saying, I see, I know, and I'm moving. And I also feel that there's going to be salvation of extended family members. Family members that you've been crying out to the Lord for even years. And I just see the hound dogs of heaven being sent after those. I tell you, God is bringing salvation in your family. And so I feel like faith to arise in you, that it's not just, you know, futile exercises or words. Paul said it this way, I do not fight as one who beats the air, but there's an effectiveness to your prayer. So Father, thank you. Encourage her today and just bless her. Fill her up in Jesus' name. Hey, young guy in the front row. Hi. It's good to sit in the front row. Did you know that? Yes. Why don't you stand up for a second? I really felt like the Lord was saying that he is restoring, it's like a confidence to you in who you are. You know, there's this revelation of the Father's love really changed my life. And I feel like God is coming with such a depth of revelation of you as a son of a God in heaven who really loves you. And I don't know what the lies are, but I feel there's been some lies that you believed about yourself. And God is just healing those and saying, I am showing you who you are. You're very smart. You're very bright. There's certain things you're particularly very bright in, and I feel like the Lord is going to help you put your hands to those certain things and show you that there's a great anointing upon you. And so it's almost like, I don't know what this pertains to, but wherever you've had peers or people who have written you off, it's just like God says, but I've chosen you. I've chosen, you know, that David, he was actually written off in many ways by his family because he wasn't even allowed to come to the group that met with the prophet Samuel. He was still in the sheep field, but God chose him. So anyway, so I bless your heart because God's choosing you and God's pushing you forward and God says you're very smart. All right. So bless them. Amen. Yeah, just fill them up. I felt like the Lord was saying during worship that he was breaking off anything of like, it's like a grief. I don't know whether there's some people here have gone through loss or whether it's just something that has kind of clung like a garment of grief, you know, maybe a loss or maybe just something of just this cloud or whatever. I don't know if you're brave enough to stand up for that. If that applies to you, I just want to pray. Is that okay? If that applies to you, just want to pray a breaking of anything of heaviness or grief or loss or any of that. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Father, yeah, and the rest of us, just to stretch our hands. Father, we just thank you for the breaking of loss, of grief. And God, you are the great restorer, and you are the God of great turnaround. Ho, in the name of Jesus, we call the turnaround season, the turnaround time. You know what I saw was these garments of like these dark garments that the Lord was saying, I want you to exchange them now for the garments of joy. Well, it's like an exchange going on. I had the vision one time for myself in that too. It was very powerful for me personally. Lord, we just say there's an exchanging of the garments today. In Jesus' name, there's a breaking, there's a lifting, there's a cloud coming off. And wherever there is like a grief from a loss, Lord, I thank you that it's just, now you're just saying it's resurrection time. It's time to go on. And it's like life on those dry bones, life on those dry bones. So do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the turnaround. Thank you for the change. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Bless you guys. Yeah, the singer that was here, that's you, right? Yeah, can you stand up? Is that your husband or who's that dude beside you? Okay, he can stand up too. Father, thank you for this couple, and God, just thank you for her heart. And I really believe that God's raising you up as a young mom in the nation. It's like there's a mother heart about you, and I just bless you to really be one that helps to lead. I see, like, you know, the story of Pied Piper or it's like a kid's story, but Pied Piper played the tune and many followed. And I feel like you're going to play the tune and many are going to follow. And even to raise up young worshipers. And so I just bless you as one that really gets it in the heart and then imparts it to next generation, a spirit of worship, a heart of worship. And so there's a mom thing about you, like you're young, but you're like got a mom heart, a spiritual mom. You're going to be a spiritual mom to many. And so I just bless you as by example, as well as by teaching and training and equipping. You're just going to raise up many, even on this island right here. So Father, bless her and fill her in the name of Jesus with just more. Yeah, more anointing, more wisdom, more of that spiritual mom anointing on her life in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, you know what? It's really awesome to be here. We have so enjoyed our time, and we're going to be here for a little bit more, not in Charlottetown, but in other parts of the island. Take the opportunity while we're out here. But I feel like the Lord gave me a message today regarding prayer and worship, and the heart of the Father to really just crack it open on another level here, I believe, is just this anointing of prayer and this anointing of worship. Because God is really up to something awesome. So, Lord, thank you. We just pray that the word of the Lord would run swiftly this morning. God, I ask for impact and change that remains and fruitfulness. And, Lord, thank you so much for this church and this ministry. God, come. Just break in your spirit. Lord, again, lasting fruit in the hearts of lives of everyone here. And thank you, Jesus. Fire of God. Amen. Well, I was, we were pastors in Catch the Fire. So I say 21 years because in 1995, we came on staff at the church in Toronto. And then for 8 years, we actually were asked to be the senior pastors of the mother church of that church and then came back in 2011. So we've been connected for many years, known John Arnott for many years since I was 10 years old because he bought a farm near my father's farm to get ex-drug addicts off the streets, make them farmers. That didn't really work, but it was a good try. Anyways, but, you know, so here we are, pastors, and the Lord was really beginning to speak to us about increasing our prayer life. And I want to just prophesy today with confidence that I believe that for all of us sitting here today listening to my voice, that all of us, the Lord wants to increase our prayer life. Is that okay? Make it more anointed, make it more effective, make it more enjoyable. You know, it's just like really increase it. And so interesting, I was sharing this week, but he sent this little praying mantis. It's an insect with its hands raised in prayer, praying mantis, to our Toronto home doorstep every morning for 3 weeks straight. And I thought, that is very unusual that there's a praying mantis in the fields, yes, but not necessarily in Toronto. And anyway, so I thought, God, are you trying to talk to me? And he was like, yes, I am trying to talk to you. And it was another incident. I was in a Toronto grocery store. This was really bizarre. Stretching out my hand to get a grocery cart, and there is a praying mantis on the grocery cart. I'm like, oh, okay, God, I get it. Well, I didn't really get it then. It took an unfolding, and we moved to Stratford to really help this church, you know, be the same pastor as that church. And then we learned prayer in a whole new level, which I may talk about more. But I want to share some of the principles I learned, because now I wouldn't give up for anything what I learned in those seasons of increasing my prayer life. And I don't know about you, but sometimes God will allow you to go through trials. God will allow you to go through some things to teach you some principles he wants you to learn. And he doesn't want you to stay stuck in trials or stay stuck in the fire. It says when you go through the water, when you go through the fire, so don't stay there. But he wants us to learn to pray more for us, but also for the lost. You know, last night, I didn't hear it. I was in the house, but John and one of my daughters there was hearing the neighbors behind the house we were staying in just having an all-out brawl, like a real, like, you know, F this and F that, and everybody could hear it. And it was really, really bad. And we, you know, felt grieved for this family, and there was three children that were there, and thought, you know, it just reminded me of what Ed Salvoso teaches when he talks about speak peace to your neighbors. Pray for your neighbors. You and I should be the pastors of our neighborhood. Come on. You and I, like, I don't live where you live, right? You don't live where I live. But even to pray, it's amazing, because when we, first time we ever did this, John and I decided we were going to pray down our neighborhood and walk one way and then walk another way and just pray for our neighbors. The very first time we did that, we came back from that little walk, and our next door neighbor was right there at the doorstep of her house saying, oh, can I talk to you guys? She knows we are pastors. And she said, you know, the fact that my mom died recently, I really want to know, where do you think she went? And she was like, oh my goodness, what an open door. She wanted to talk about heaven and hell. She wanted to talk about eternity. And that was the very first time we actually did this. And we're like, okay, God, we get it. You really are saying there's an effectiveness as we pray for our neighbors and as we pray for the lost. And so anyway, that has led to some amazing things. But God is really wanting to do something here. You know, the disciples, they had actually raised the dead. They had healed some sick. And the 70 had been sent out. And Jesus even said, I saw Satan fall like lightning when the 70 were sent out. After all of that amazing stuff, what happens after that in Luke 11? It says the disciples, verse 1, it says the disciples come, they see Jesus praying, right? He's having his usual prayer time. He was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you've been raising the dead. You've been out doing the stuff. And they at that point said, teach us to pray. In other words, maybe we've been walking with God for 50 years. Maybe you have seen extraordinary things happen already, but it's not above us to say, Lord, teach us to pray. Come on, teach me to pray. No matter what I've been or whatever, how long I've known you, there is more. This isn't just Christianity 101. This is also where the Lord is just taking us to new levels of knowing what it means to partner with him in praying his purposes. Yes, he is sovereign. However, he chooses to partner with us. I've heard it said, and I agree. God will not do your part, and you cannot do his part. There is a partnership here that goes on. And so he's looking for us. Okay, why would we want to pray? Let's talk about our personal prayer life for a moment. Why would you want to pray? Number one reason is for relationship and communion with God. So your heart, my heart, awaken in love so that we really, you know, come into this place of unity. Prayer isn't just me talking to God. It's also God talking to me. God talking to you. There's a two-way conversation, really, that he wants to have. I like what Mike Bickle says, the leader of IHOP in Kansas City, talks about that when we commune with the Lord, it is this ongoing dialogue. When we start it, he starts it. When we stop it, he stops it. And there's a lot of truth to that. Meaning, I've always found God willing to talk or willing to share. So, yes, we want to come to him in, look at this prayer that Jesus taught here. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Okay, so he starts with worship, worshiping the Lord. So even in our prayer time, worship doesn't always have to take the place of, you know, when we have a band around us, although it's awesome when we do. But your heart's just saying, "God, you're God. I am not. I worship you. I'm just coming to meet with you." That is worship. All right, and then he goes into an intercessory component, which we'll talk about, and ends with worship. "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever." Changes your life. It changes my life when we really take this on. We begin to commune and have relationship with this God of the universe who created you for oneness and created you for relationship. We want to pray also because we need direction. Anybody need direction? I need direction. You know, I discovered that God was a great father, the best father, and he knew how to parent. And so in parenting six children, our oldest is 25, our youngest is 13, we have needed a lot of direction from the Lord, as well as other times of we need direction in pastoring and in leading. I don't want to lead. We don't want to lead the church in Toronto based on programs and principles. We want to lead it based on the presence of God. Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you up to? So we get direction. We get downloads. We get words of wisdom as we pray and as we ask. We also need power. I need power. You need power. We want to see the increase of God's government in our lives and on earth, and we see the increase in the hand of God moving as we pray. It says in Song of Solomon, it says 8, it says, "Set me as a seal on your heart and set me as a seal on your arm." Seal me in your heart. I want to know you. I want to be known by you. I want to have a relationship. But set me as a seal on your arm, God, because I want to see your righteous right arm move as we pray. Wow. I really have an incredible confidence now in the power of my prayers. As in other words, I have a great confidence that God moves when I pray. I really do. I've seen it over and over and over again. You know, just God moving, God coming, God doing crazy things. I just, before coming here, it was 2 weeks, myself and the two youngest daughters that were in Kansas City. I was working on the next book I'm writing, and in the house of prayer. I do have a daughter on staff in Kansas City, so visiting her and her husband as well. But the projected temperatures were going to be 37, 38, 39, and humidity on top of that. And I'm like, "God, I'm a Canadian, you know? Lord, have mercy." And I just began to pray and say, "Lord, I'm asking for a cool wave to come in. God, I'm asking that you would change the..." And I'm not kidding, that's what the projected temperatures were. Got there, and they were in a drought, too. This was literally 3 weeks ago, because we were there for 2 weeks. And when we got there, it was kind of a warm day, but that first night, I think it was the first night that we got, I've never heard this before on my cell phone. My cell phone went bzz, 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 at 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, "What is that?" And I look, it's like flash floods. The rain came, and the rain came with such intensity in Kansas City that it was actually flash floods. So they had rain, and this cool front came in. Come on, hallelujah. 21 degrees. And I'm like, "God, I love you. You're so awesome." All right, I know that sounds crazy, but I've seen that over and over and over again, okay? So I really do have a confidence in this, but, you know, you want to pray according to God's will as well, right? Thought that sounded like God's will for rain to come in. So, but, you know, God wants to us, this whole thing of prayer absolutely changes us and changes those around us, but will we use this tool? You know, will we access those realms of glory? Why wouldn't we, for heaven's sakes? By the way, not too far from here is Halifax, right? Well, after the Second World War, my parents immigrated. They met actually in Canada, but both of my parents are from Holland. So they talk about coming to Halifax, you know, off the ship. So my mom was 19 years old, and she was all by herself on that ship. And you're just coming to to Canada. And I've often thought about this, you know, can you imagine if my mom, who, you know, finally had paid the passage to come to Canada and just brought some of that nice Gouda Dutch cheese, you know, and some of those Raska crackers from, and ate that in that, I think it was 3 weeks. It was a long time in that day to come across the ocean. Can you imagine if she, that's all she had, and getting off the ship and the captain saying, hey, you know, you're looking a little slim. Well, my cheese ran out. My crackers ran out. Well, ma'am, didn't you know that your passage came with all you can eat morning, noon, and night buffet? Ah! Now, can you imagine that? All right, now, let's take that to our lives. Can you imagine if we get to heaven and someday stand before him and find out, come on, there was so much more. There was so much more that God had intended for us. There was so much more that God anointed us for or created us to make a difference in this earth, but we didn't access it because we, in ignorance, didn't know or didn't take the time to pray. This is a tool. This is an incredible, not just a tool. It's it in itself. Like, I used to have these prophecies about being, you know, prayer. And I'm like, boring. Oh, so boring. Oh, God. And the Lord showed me, no, that's not true. You've bought a lie that it's boring because my presence comes. Now, I lead the house of prayer in Catch the Fire in Toronto. We have 20 hours a week of full teams worship and intercession together, as well as once a month, first Friday of the month, an all-night prayer night that goes all the way till 6 a.m. Now, usually we'll start our prayer nights, let's say, with 120 people, and we might end with 45. Our teams are maybe, you know, around 8 or 9 people. How do you do that? How? And I've been leading House of Prayer since 2003. What's that? 13 years now. How most of my team, not all, but most of my team are young adults, 90 of them on the roster. How do you motivate young people to worship and pray voluntarily? I volunteer too. I'm not paid by Catch the Fire. I volunteer. How do you motivate people to do that? Let me tell you how. The presence of God, because God shows up. And God shows up at 2 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning and those all-nighters. And God shows up on those sets on Tuesday morning and Tuesday night and Wednesday morning and on and on. God shows up. That's why. It says in Isaiah 62, I am coming and my reward is with me. He is the reward. And there's something of us waking up to the glory of knowing him, the glory of his presence, and how it absolutely changes our lives. Now, I have this daughter on staff at IHOP. She and her husband lead the 6 p.m. till midnight house of prayer set, pastoring all those singers and musicians. I just had 3 Sundays ago, lunch with Mike Bickle and Misty Edwards and with my daughter and her son-in-law. I mean, these are the people that Misty Edwards is in their team. So they're leading these teams. She's a beautiful 23-year-old daughter. They are in the house of prayer from 6 p.m. till midnight. Is it 5 or 6 nights a week? How do you motivate people to do that? God, okay? God. Because he is there and he shows up and his presence. Church, I'm trying to say that I believe that the Lord wants to make us just absolutely addicted to his presence. Come on. That's what changes us. That's what changes our cities and our nations. Him, God, showing up. And why then would we hold back in anything that's accessible to us? Like these disciples, teach us to pray. We know there's more. There was 500 people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead. 500. And he said the same thing. Wait, tarry in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How many were there? 120. What happened to the other 380, I wonder? I don't know, I've wondered that. But anyways, 120 were there, thank God. And the Holy Spirit came. But I tell you, I want to be one of those 120. I want to be one of those that would tarry, would be there. I believe that God wants to raise up this cry in us. But I cannot start House of Prayer or pray corporately or lead corporate prayer unless I am a house of prayer, unless this, me. And I believe that God wants to change our homes. You know what I felt like the Lord spoke to me last night? He said this, call fathers to pray. Fathers, where are the fathers in this room? God is calling you to pray. God is calling you to step up the intercession for your children. There's an authority that you have as a father that other people don't have in that place before your children. You know, one time my sister said to me, she said, you know, when I see these young people just wandering and aimless and got no motivation in life, she says, I wonder sometimes about, is there a prayerless parent? And I was like, oh, interesting. There could very well be. I don't know. All I want to say is this. There's an authority. There's a gatekeeping anointing. And I specifically heard the Lord say, call fathers to pray. Call fathers to step up. Now mothers as well and whatever. But I'm telling you, there's an authority that we've got. God is raising up the place of intercession. Lou Engle said this, history belongs to the intercessor. Dick Eastman said, God's prayers are society's best revolutionaries. Did you know Henry Nouwen, and he said, I read his book, and he said that the original word for theology was union with God in prayer. Interesting. The original term meant union with God in prayer, and we've degraded it to some sort of mental exercise. But you know that it's the heart. God is looking for the heart. It's not just when we pray with our head and I tick that box and I'm done. But it's like, you know, there's something of the engagement of the heart where we actually, I cannot imagine now a day that would go by without praying. That would be horrible. Because it's just part of my habit, but part of my heart. And I feel off. I definitely feel off in the spirit if I haven't had that time with God. Now, let me just say this. I know that people say, well, you know, I kind of pray when I wash dishes, and good. I pray when I wash dishes too. But I want to say this, that I believe that we should all have time that we set aside. Here's some practicals in prayer. Number one, time. Come on. Set aside time in your day to pray. And if you pray in the car, great. I do. I pray in tongues in my car. I really feel like that's a time there. And speaking of praying in tongues, if you have a prayer language, you pray in tongues, please use it. All right, use your gift of tongues. Let me just very quickly quote a few studies. Oral Roberts University did a study. Carl Peterson is the doctor's name. And he found that there's a secretion in the brain, actually two secretions that are secreted only in one human activity, and that is glossolalia, speaking in tongues, this particular secretion. It's not secreted in any other human activity, only glossolalia, and it boosts the immune system 35 to 40%. Shana masikarapa. Come on, you feel a cold coming on, just shikaratapa sikaratabashon. It actually makes you healthier, all right? There's another study. This is the, believe it or not, the New York Times published these two studies. There was a study done in the University of Pennsylvania on five women who spoke in tongues, and they did brain scans, and they found that the frontal lobe of their brains were not active when they were speaking in tongues, which didn't make any scientific sense because the frontal lobes are engaged in language and in controlling your bodies, in other words, telling your mouth to speak. So what they were concluding is that what these women were saying is that God was speaking through them, or it was their voice, but it's a spirit language. The study was proving that to be true because their human activity, their brain was not involved. And another study done of 1,000 evangelicals in the UK, 1,000 evangelicals, and they said that those evangelicals who spoke in tongues had a more stable, emotionally stable life. Whoa, there you go. All right, let alone all the other spiritual benefits. But those are even just some medical proof to what God is saying. This edifies you. This encourages you, part of your prayer life. All right, so time, setting aside time to pray. Habits of prayer, make a habit of it. In parents here, if you have a habit of prayer, your children are more inclined to ingrain habits of prayer. And bless you for coming to church, too. I just want to say that I'm so grateful for my parents that took me to church every Sunday. You know, it's like those are good, godly habits, all right? Good, godly habits. But we want, you want the heart to be engaged, but those are good, godly habits. Time. Have a place to pray. Even having prayer lists. I was sharing this weekend about I kickstart my intercessory time with praying the prayer of Jabez, which is in 1 Chronicles 4:10, over every one of my kids and grandkids. Oh, that you would bless Gabriel indeed in large Gabriel's territory. I insert their names, that your hand might be with her, whatever. It's like have prayer lists. It can help you. My prayer lists are also what I call prophetic decrees. Let me just say this real quickly. John used to be a bank manager. When I met John, he was a banker, and he had been through Bible school, and he always had all these prophecies and dreams of being a pastor, but he was a banker. That was the bread and butter. That's what the bank moved us to a town in Ontario, and I was crying out to the Lord and saying, God, what about the prophecies of ministry and pastoring and traveling the nations? All those things that you've been speaking to us and to me since I was 8 and to John too. And I remember the Lord speaking to me and said, what are you doing about those prophecies? And I said, well, I'm complaining. That's what I am. I don't actually need another prophecy. I need some fulfillment. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, well, call in your prophecies. I was like, oh, I didn't know how to do that. Do you know that prophecies or even God's will over your life is conditional upon your response? Hello. And that includes churches, cities, and nations. Conditional. Now, there are prophecies that are unconditional, like Jesus is coming again. Okay, he is coming again. But there's the will that many are called, few are chosen. So it's like, will you choose this? And so as I began to inquire the Lord, how do I call in these prophecies? Basically what he was saying is start to decree them, start to declare them, because you know it's my will. I've prophesied it enough over you. Now you just start to speak it. So I remember going around that little house and I said, I call forth the pastor and my husband. I call forth the ministry anointing on our lives. God, I'm reminding you of your prophecies, and I say I believe them, and I want them, and I declare that they will come to pass. Well, it was 6 months later when we were asked by John and Carol to come to Toronto in 1995 to come on staff there. It was such a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to me. Now, I didn't realize at that time that I had a war. Now, what did Paul say to Timothy? He says this, he said, wage war for your prophecies. Wage war for those words that I have spoken over your life. And I'm like, does that sound like, well, God knows my address. If he wants me to have it, he knows where to find me. Come on, church. Let's just shake off the complacency. How about we just shake it off? We just shake it off. Wage war for your prophecies. 1 Timothy 1:18. And he also says this, he says, stir up the gift of God which is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, and do not neglect. Now, one time I'm throwing away some mayonnaise that I haven't opened the jar, and it's like, due date is 2005, and I'm like, I forgot about that, and I was pitching it, never opened it. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, that's what many of my church are doing with the prophecies. They're sitting on the shelf, rotting past their due date. Tell them to get their words. Tell them to get my call off the shelf. You know, there is something that, you know, we actually do faith and works, but there's this calling in. There's this praying in of the prophecies over our lives. Do you know that we have one son and 5 daughters. Our one daughter's name is Aquila. Aquila was 5, 6, 7 years old when she just kept saying, I need to learn French. I really want to learn French. Well, we have to learn French in Canada anyways. But we kept getting Rosetta 1, Rosetta Stone 2, Rosetta Stone 3. That's French language, you know. And we were, you know, getting a tutor, and she just kept pursuing that. The word of the Lord obviously was coming to her, but she did something about it. She did some action. Well, guess where Aquila is? Aquila is in French Geneva, married a Swiss guy whose first language is French, and she's teaching English at a French Christian school. How many think God was speaking to her when she was 5, 6, and 7? But she actually did something. She actually took action. She certainly prayed, and so sometimes, church, it's like God, you know, I'm waiting on God. Sometimes God is waiting on you. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to believe. Blessed is she who believed that there'd be fulfillment of those things spoken to her by the Lord, Luke 1:45. But he's waiting on us sometimes to just actually war, take it up. God, I will not settle for mediocrity. And even in the lives of my children. So I began to realize that this whole thing about decreeing as it pertained to prayer was something very powerful. So I have many decrees now that I say over myself, over our church, over my children. My children, you know, just begin to just speak it out. Just their prayers. It actually, again, it's part of my prayer time. You know, my children are lovers of God, or my children are have favor with God and man, or the Lord opens doors that are of Him, and all these sorts of things. Church, I'm just trying to, I feel like God is saying He wants to wake us up to the authority that we have. Wake us up to what's available to us, and not just for us, but also for a dying and a hurting world. For a world that needs you and I to be these sons of light. So make your time with the Lord part of it, you know, obviously praying and journaling. Listen to the voice of God. I talked about prophecy on Friday night. Listening to the Lord. What does He have to say? Here's another great key to prayer is praying the Bible. Pray the Bible. You know, sometimes you'll read a truth in the Word and turn it into dialogue. Turn it into dialogue with the living Word through the written Word. Do you want to know how, this is a bit of a crazy story, but how the Lord taught me about praying the Word on a new level. Speaking of that daughter, Aquila, she was actually born in 1995. We came on staff in Toronto May 23rd, officially, of 1995, May 24th of 1995. There was a prophet by the name of Paul Kane in our church, another guy by the name of Jack Deere. And there's like thousands of people in the building at that point. We had just come to Toronto. I had a hard time finding a doctor because I was 9 months pregnant when I moved to Toronto in 1995. And most doctors don't want to take on a woman who's 9 months pregnant. And so I finally found one across the city. Anyways, I get a prophetic word from these guys. I go down in the power of the Spirit, May 25th of 1995. I'm on the floor of our church in Toronto. I can tell you right where the spot is. And I go into labor on the floor of the church in Toronto. And it's around late at night. I remember somebody getting on the microphone saying, John Bootsma, please come to the front. Your wife is in labor. You know, so there comes John. And I had already given birth to two kids prior to that. He picks me up, brings me to the hospital. I am so in the zone with God. I just got prayer. I'm in the buzz of revival. I am totally lost in the presence of God. I am in labor. The doctor hooks me up to the contraction measuring device, and he looks at the needle like this, and he goes like, whoa, these contractions are quite strong. And I'm like, ho, woohoo, woo. And he's like, okay. You know. So anyways, that doctor said afterwards, he said he was a doctor for 25 years. He says that was the most unusual birth I've ever been in. I had no pain medication whatsoever. I had no pain because I was just in the zone with the Lord, and I could feel my muscles working like I was. I knew I was in labor, but I did not have any pain. Now, I did for the first two kids. Okay, so this is my third kid, and I'm like, okay. Now I know this is possible. Long story short, the Lord had asked us years ago if we'd have a large family. He told us we were going to have six kids. And so kid number four was born on Christmas Day. I was not at church getting a nice prophetic word and getting blasted by the Holy Spirit. I was actually at some family function for Christmas on Christmas Eve, went into labor, and I'm like, and by the way, I'd already been prepping, and I said, God, how can I get in that zone again? Because I prefer that level of birth, you know? And he said, well, you can access me through the Word. And I was like, really? I said, yeah. So I would take these verses. Some of my favorites in labor would be like, I had Psalm 910 as one of my favorite. And I would just say, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou hast not forsaken those who seek thee. By the way, the contemplatives did this, the Thomas Kempis, the Henry Nouwens, the Madame Guillaume. But they would just, you know, zone in. They that put their trust in thee, thou hast not forsaken those who seek thee. And I would just meditate on the Word. Meditate, and I could feel myself getting into this zone with God. I could feel myself where the Spirit would take precedence over the body. And it happened for the last four births, true story, no pain medication whatsoever and no pain. Now, I knew I was in labor. I wrote it in the book. I wrote it in the epilogue of the book about this experience. There's only two places I've heard about this. Madame Guyon, in her book, Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ, talks about how she was actually in the Bastille, the prison in Paris for 10 years. And she said her prison cell was like heaven. How is that possible? It's possible when the spirit takes precedence over the natural realm. And I also, there's a book by Jackie Miezi talking about supernatural childbirth. So I have had, just in case you're wondering, I've had people come to me and say, can you pray for me? So I pray for them. Some of the women come back and say, wow, it was just like you said, yay. And others come back and say, it was not like you said. It's kind of like trying to pray your intimacy into somebody else, okay? You can't really do that. You have to own your own history in God, your own walk with God. But I do know this, I own this revelation. And what it is there was a coming to the living word through the written word. Now, I know that's kind of extreme in childbirth, but we can do this. Pray the Bible. Pray the word. You know, coming into God, I want to take this truth. I want to dialogue with you about it. I don't want to just, you know, tick the box. Yeah, I read my Bible today. But let me actually get something out of it. When it says here, for example, if a son asks for bread from a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? No, and that you being evil, how to give good gifts, how much more shall the Father give to you? Ask, and it will be given to you. Lord, just make that a dialogue. Lord, I'm asking right now that you would help me to pray, that you would help my faith to rise. And just begin to dialogue with God about it. It's a powerful way of learning to pray, is praying the Bible. Praying in faith. I don't know what time I get pulled off the stage, but let me conclude for a little bit. Hindrances to prayer. Do you know that there's a very real battle in the spirit realm that wants to keep you from praying? Anybody read the book, C.S. Lewis's book called Screwtape Letters? Powerful, powerful book, where it's like the senior demons are talking to the junior demons and are saying, at any cost, at any price, interrupt people when they pray. Because it says this, real prayer is lethal to our cause. And it is. Do you know Daniel, when he prayed and he, you know, realized the prophecies of Jeremiah were coming, you know, that he prayed those prophecies. And what does it say? The angel came in response to his prayer. The angel who needed Michael's help, because Michael, the archangel, had to deal with the principality powers of Persia. But it says this, the angel said, at your word, I have come. Oh my goodness, that just gets me every time. Daniel 10. It's like he's saying, when you prayed the words of your mouth, angels were dispatched in response to your words. Oh, church, this is awesome. We can actually influence angels and demons by our prayers. We help. We don't pray to the angels. There's no biblical precedence for that. You pray to God, but God dispatches angels, and God binds the demons. Oh, I love it. I remember one time when our older daughter was 3 years old and I heard this big crash from our bedroom and I looked and oh my goodness, her dresser was on the ground and had fallen over and she was up in the top bunk of a bunk bed. And I said, Gabriel, what happened? She was 3 years old. And she said, I was climbing my dresser when all of a sudden it began to topple and she was picked up. She said she was picked up by these hands. She felt them, but she didn't see them. And they moved her through the air onto the top bunk of the bunk bed. I know this. I pray for protection and I believe in the ministry of angels. Come on. God has sent forth angels to protect. There's many references. It's not my talk tonight, but many references. Another thing that keeps us from prayer is excuses. Too busy. I'm too tired. I don't have enough time. Do you want to know something? You actually, you know, you can't afford not to pray. Put it that way. Because more will happen in your job and in your marriage and in your family if you do pray. You take the time to enlist the help of the judge upon all judge, the king of all kings, and the power of all powers. And believe me, you will see the results in your life. What did Paul say? By the way, if you've ever been to Israel, there's a place called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea is a place on the Mediterranean, and it's where you see still today the ruins of Herod the Great's palace, and there's a hippodrome, which is this track. Now, we got the Olympics coming this year, don't we? Do you know that's where the Olympics were held? Caesarea, way back in that day. And Paul is imprisoned in Caesarea watching those athletes train. You can see the ruins of his prison cell, and the hippodrome is still there, the track. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, you know, they run for a temporal prize. But he says, how much more do I discipline my body for the imperishable crown? Do you know those athletes training right now in Rio? What are they train 6, 7, 8 hours a day. What are they doing? For a temporal crown. It's going to rust someday. Somebody will forget their name someday. They might be on the box, the cereal box for a little bit, but they won't be after a while. It's a temporal crown. And God bless them. I'm all for athletics. But how much more so was Paul saying that I discipline this body? I discipline myself for the imperishable crown. I discipline my life to come into alignment with that which goes on into eternity. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. I don't really have time to talk about the corporate prayer, but let me just say corporate prayer reaps corporate results. You'll see more things happen corporately if you come together. And I want to add this. Heaven's model, Revelation 4, Revelation 5, is the harp and the bowl. It's worship and intercession. You will have a lot more enjoyment when you add some form of worship. John and I, when we started House of Prayer, it was me on guitar and us praying, and that was it. But there's something about adding a song and a sound, and we go back and forth between the worship and the prayer, and it's so much more enjoyable, and God moves. But I believe God wants to move in this region, move in the PEI, move in Canada. And he is raising up centers all over this nation. Can I just tell you right now, here's a quick statistics. Did you know that in 1984, there was less than 25 24-hour houses of prayer in the world? Less than 25, 1984. Today, there's 20,000 24-hour houses of prayer. There is 6 in Jerusalem alone, 6 24-hour houses of prayer in Jerusalem alone, as well as I could go on and on with these stats. We just spoke to the House of Prayer leaders in Holland in April. There is, how many was it? 43 houses of prayer in Holland. We were shocked. It's not even that big of a nation. Our nation has around 55 houses of prayer and another 25 that are on university campuses. We are seeing an explosion all over the earth. And let me just say this. It has to do with the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David. As Amos 9:11 says, in the last days, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. That's repeated in Acts 15. And David had a 24-hour center. I'm not saying you have to go 24 hours. We're not 24 hours a day. But he had a center of prayer and worship and prayer and worship, putting God first, putting him center. In our church in Toronto, we seek to put him first and worship and pray more than we meet and in programs. And I'm telling you, God is moving. Let's all stand together. Jesus, lover of our soul, come in your glory. When God said to watch, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Now is the time. Watch and pray. Oh, God. Let your fire fall. Can I have anybody musician-wise? Yeah, thanks. That man. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would touch the hearts of every person here. You know, I just bless this young man. What's your name, dude? Dalton. Thank you for Dalton, God. Thank you for the anointing on him. And God, just thank you for his leadership, even amongst his generation, of a man of purity and holiness and righteousness. God, I thank you that he's a leader even in athletics. God, I bless his athletic skill. But Lord, you're raising him up as a leader in many spheres. So Father, just continue to burn in his heart, Lord, like a David, Lord, a David of worship and love for you. David was a lover of God whose side job was to be the king of Israel. And I bless you, Dalton, to be a lover of God. And your side job is going to be an extraordinary leader. So Father, even a business leader too. So fill him up. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Come and pierce hearts here today. Come and touch lives here today. God, I ask that you would wake us up. Wake us up. You know, I just want every eye to be closed for a moment. I want you to focus on the Lord. Don't worry. You'll get your lunch. Spirit of Tim Hortons, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for every heart and every life. But just close your eyes for a moment. Just center on the Lord. So you know what? I really sense the Lord was saying that, that there was people here today that needed to really fully give their hearts to the Lord. Fully give your heart, maybe for the first time, or a rededication. Now, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 12, but I definitely needed to rededicate my heart to the Lord when I was around 20 and 22, just to fully give myself to Him because I had wandered. I mean, I loved God, but He wasn't on the throne of my life, put it that way. And if Jesus isn't on the driver's seat, if He's not really fully, you know, your Lord in different areas of your life, I believe there's an invitation. God wants to bring us into full-on lordship, submission, relationship with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, our pocketbooks need to get saved, our mouths need to get saved, our minds need to get saved, but there's a rededication or a surrender this morning. I feel like the Lord is calling us to give Him everything. Yeah. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. I ask that you would brood, that you would move, that you would have your way in this place. God, touch hearts, touch lives, Lord.